Welcome to this guided meditation with Father Mark, your guide for a more intimate and transformative connection with Christ. Please pause, play, and adapt this aid to facilitate your own personal conversation with the Lord.
The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come into your presence, Jesus, this new day, grateful for the chance to be together with you, joyful to be spending time speaking heart to heart with the source of all love, all kindness, all mercy. No matter what we're going through right now, Jesus understands it, can judge it, value it properly, can console us, can encourage us, can reprimand us if needed, can teach us. So coming to him is the best place to come for our heart's needs, for both soothing and healing and challenging and growing our hearts. So we activate our faith. We believe, Lord, we're in the presence of the greatest of lovers, the greatest of doctors, the greatest of therapists, the greatest of counselor, of spiritual director. Like, you are our all in all. You know what our hearts need, and we believe that. That's why we come to you, sure to praise you, to glorify you, to thank you, to bless you, but also to receive from you, to allow you as our loving Father to do what you most love, which is bless your children. So we come into your presence to receive those blessings and those graces. We hope in you. We hope in those blessings and graces. We open our hearts to them. We come to receive that. We love you. We love all that you do. We love your goodness, your kindness. We love your teaching, your fatherhood, your kingship, your creative power. We love you. Your will be done in us and in all your creatures, Lord. We open our hearts to receive from you in this time of prayer the grace we most need. We can call to mind perhaps a fruit of grace that we're looking for, that we need, perhaps discernment on a decision that needs made, perhaps a grace of healing, perhaps a growth in virtue to overcome a tendency of vice in thought, word, or action that is causing us damage in our hearts or in relationships or in our health or in anything else, Lord. Whatever grace we're looking for, we ask that of you in this time of prayer. We turn our hearts now to the Gospel of Luke 11, 15 to 26, to hear what the Lord might speak to us. When Jesus had driven out a demon, some of the crowd said, "By the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he drives out demons." Others, to test him, asked him for a sign from heaven. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste, and a house will fall against house. And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that it's by Beelzebul that I drive out demons. If I, then, drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your own people drive them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it's by the finger of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his palace, his possessions are safe. But when a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away the armor on which he relied and distributes the spoils. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of someone, it roams through arid regions searching for rest, but finding none, it says, 'I shall return to my home from which I came.' But upon returning, it finds it swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and brings back seven other spirits more wicked than itself, who move in and dwell there, and the last condition of that man is worse than the first." Jesus, I'm struck by these first lines in the gospel where Luke presents kind of how people interpreted your action, your spiritual battle. and how they interpret it wrongly. Like they claim this power comes from Satan itself, that you have some evil source that allows you to cast out evil, that it's some kind of, you're an agent of this civil war between evil. It's by the prince of demons that you're casting out demons. And then others was maybe had their doubts about where your power came from, and so test you, asking for a sign from heaven. And Jesus just makes me think how often the most obvious answer, your divinity, that your power from God, which your evident goodness showed and all the good that you did of allowing the blind to see and the lame to walk and people who are enslaved to evil set free for all, to live a whole newness of life. And the evident thing is that's a good thing, good actions. It comes from a good source, from God himself. But yet they don't want to see it. They see it because that would imply change for them. That would imply conversion. It would imply an act of faith. It would imply re-examining their whole understanding of faith, because Jesus was challenging all that. It's causing them to grow. And rather than grow and be open to the obvious response, the obvious truth in front of them, they twist it around to find the easiest solution for themselves. He comes from evil. He's doing evil, even if it looks like good. And we should condemn him and stay with what we already know. Reminds me also of that passage. You do not get an answer because you ask wrongly. They ask for signs wrongly. They ask to justify not having to listen to him, to find an excuse to ignore Jesus. Comes from the wrong place. They're not going to get the answer they're asking for. And then Jesus, you're patient enough, but also pretty straightforward to say, make evident their failure, their lack of logic. So if I'm coming from the devil, then how do your own people cast out demons? And so you're saying, maybe if you say they're good, then they're better than me, even though I'm doing more miraculous things than they. They're your own judges. Look at them. Whatever answer you have for them, it's the same for me. It just makes me think, Jesus, you're not afraid to challenge the truth. Sometimes we as Catholics or Christians want to be so kind and pastoral and good and humble, which is good, imitate that gentle side of Jesus. We sometimes don't imitate his challenging side, his candor, his kind of just calmly but firmly reflecting back on them, their diabolical reasoning. And I think there's some beauty in that. And I admire people that are capable of that, able to do that peacefully and calmly but firmly and reflect that kind of that side of Jesus. It's not always bad to challenge the world, to confront the world. In fact, it's often good to not just roll over or kind of take a step back and kind of keep the peace. There is a side to the gospel which is willing to confront culture and popular ideas and unmask them and use sometimes even harsh language. Jesus, I can be distracted in my prayer sometimes trying to figure out the meaning of mysterious passages and maybe just have a mental exercise instead of a real heart-to-heart with you. When it talks about the strong male, fully armed, you know, guarding, and some stronger comes back. I think for me, the most spiritually fruitful is to see you. You are the strong man. You've come to challenge the devil. You've cast him out. And you are the strong man. You've overcome him. And you distribute the spoils. What you saved, you now are master of. And we need to be with you, not against you. We need to be right next to you, doing spiritual battle, reconquering, taking the land, establishing and extending the kingdom, weeding out land and sowing rich seed that gives 30, 60, 100 fold, right? Because when we cast out a spirit, it roams, and it looks to come back. to where it once had authority and possession. And if it finds it orderly when it comes back and under new management, so to speak, under the King of Kings, under Jesus' power, it's going to do battle. It's going to want to come back and take possession of those who were once its children. And we'll come with force, and we need to be ready for that. Because, you know, Jesus makes us his own, but we have to be prepared for battle. And when we're under you, Jesus, when we're with you, Jesus, we don't need to fear one spirit or seven spirits. But we do need to be ready for the battle, the temptation, the spiritual kind of reconquest that the enemy will try to enact. This is no child's play of the spiritual life. It's souls on the line, souls eternity. And so, Jesus, help us to take it as seriously as you do, as seriously as the devil does, as seriously as evil does. And let us be willing to really lay down our lives in love for you and defend the ground you have taken in our souls, to really fight back spiritually and live in the freedom of the children of God. And not, as St. Paul says, to go back to slavery. And give us your strength, Lord. Maybe as I look at my day, Lord, I want to make resolutions of ways that I sometimes know I'm tempted to go back on resolutions, go back on areas that you've already graced me to give over to you. And give me your strength, Lord, to persevere in my sonship and in the freedom you've given me and not go backwards. Take some time now, formulate your resolution, and go into your day in the grace of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
This has been a guided meditation with Father Mark Haidu of the Legionaries of Christ. If this has helped you, please consider sharing it with a friend, along with the other meditations, homilies, and talks found on the Legionaries of Christ podcast, located on all major platforms, or go to rcnytristate.org for links.